we can't always control all the variables and the situations and prevent challenge, obstacle, or adversity from coming our way, but we choose how we're going to move forward.
Welcome to the Midlife Reinvention Podcast, a podcast helping women in career and life transitions achieve clarity on their next steps so they can transform uncertainty into an energizing next chapter. I'm your host, Kavita Ahuja, and the founder of It's My Time Now Coaching. If you're wondering what's next in your career or life, you are in the right place. Through solo and guest episodes, you'll gain practical tips, tools, and inspiration to help you uncover blocks, gain confidence, and be, do, and have what you want. I rediscovered myself after the age of 50, and I know you can too. It's my time now to help you do just that. I'm so excited you're here. Let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of the Midlife Reinvention Podcast, and welcome to a new month. If you are new or are a returning listener, I thank you so much for being here. It really does mean the world to me. My name is Kavita Ahuja, and I am a career and life transitions coach for women. And my goal is to help you transform your life by guiding you to realize your true purpose and potential. Because we all want to become the best versions of ourselves that we can. Happy Easter to those of you who celebrate. I hope you had an amazing weekend of celebrations with family and friends. I'm so looking forward to spending some time with my family as well soon, as we celebrate my father's 91st birthday in a few days. You may have heard me talk about him in past episodes. And we're also celebrating my niece's daughter's first birthday. Crazy, isn't it? 90 years apart. So much wisdom to be gained from both the young and the old. I can't wait. Today, I am so excited to share a wonderful interview with Victoria Pelletier. Nicknamed the Turnaround Queen and the CEO Whisperer, you will learn about her story of resilience as she overcame childhood adversity to becoming an unstoppable CEO and influential leader. In this episode, you will learn how to become and build resilience, 2, understand the importance of personal branding, and 3, understand why it's so important to have strategic intentionality in DEI initiatives in the workplace. Hear from Victoria herself, and please do stick around for this Monday's Motivational Monday segment, where I will share a surprising story about another famous person's journey of resilience and from starting from great adversity. So don't forget to stay till the end to hear this Motivational Monday segment and the key takeaways from today's episode. Welcome to the Midlife Reinvention Podcast, a podcast helping women in career and life transitions achieve clarity on their next steps so they can transform uncertainty into an energizing next chapter. I'm your host, Kavita Ahuja, and I have to tell you that the moment I met my next guest, I knew I needed to have her on my podcast because of her unstoppable energy and story of transformation. I welcome Victoria Pelletier to our conversation today. Victoria is a 20-plus year corporate executive, board director, number one selling author, and professional public speaker. As someone who does not subscribe to the status quo, she's always ready for new challenges, as evidenced by becoming one of the youngest chief operating officers at the age of 24, president by 35, and a CEO at age 41. So that's amazing, Victoria. Thank you so much for being here, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kavita. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, it's a pleasure. So Victoria, you know, your brand is all about the brand and the words unstoppable. And there's probably many layers of meaning behind that word. And maybe you could tell our audience where this kind of drive and resilience has come from. And I know when we had spoke earlier, when we first met, that you told me that you wanted to be better than the biology from where you were raised. So perhaps you can tell us the story about your story. I know that there was some trauma and abuse at an early age and sort of how you transformed from there.
Yeah, no, happy to. It's a big part of my why in terms of where my drive and the unstoppable nature comes from. And there are two things I'd say in that journey. So the first is I'm born to a drug addicted teenage mother who is very abusive to me, from pushing me up and down stairs to, this next one was carelessness, not intention, but like a cigarette on my eye. So I wore a patch for months. So I went in and out of the child welfare system a number of times. And then thankfully, Julie, my biological mother, started to leave me with a couple after each episode. And the woman who later became my mom, my adoptive mother, and my mom is the woman that raised me. She asked Julie to take me out of that environment and to adopt me. And so the most helpless thing Julie could have done was to agree to that. And so I was raised by my mom and my dad, who come from lower socioeconomic positions, where my dad was a janitor, my mom a secretary. Mm-hmm. And my mom said to me, I think I was maybe 11 years old. She said, Tori, you need to do better than us. And I'll tell you, Kavita, she never needed to say those words to me, because I was determined to be better than biology or the circumstance from where I came from. I mean, I never went without food or clothing, but there was no money for anything else. So I started working at age 11 and continued from there. So that is a big part of my why and my resilience. I do believe you can enhance and develop the skill about being resilient. However, there's a certain part of it for me that's innate. Fight or flight. Mm-hmm. I'm a fighter. Mm-hmm. And so I have used and fueled those experiences to never let an obstacle, a challenge, adversity, or trauma stop me from achieving the goal or objective I've set for myself.
Wow. I mean, having that experience as childhood, that is like a big shock and introduction, I guess, to your whole life, and to be able to get out of that and to not only survive, but thrive, I would say, is incredible. So I'm sure you've told this story a lot, but I'm sure it's not easy to retell it again. It's incredible. So thanks for sharing that. And I would say if I could ask you to really kind of define, I know you've talked about it a little bit, but really if you could define what unstoppable really does mean to you, because people who are listening to this podcast are predominantly women who are thinking about their next steps, for example, in their career, or who may be held back by some fears, right? About what is their next step. And maybe they're fearful of judgment, or I can't do this. Or oftentimes even the fear of, what if I actually succeed, right? So what advice would you give to these women based on your experience that you've told me about and further on after that about being unstoppable?
Hi, my friend, Kavita here. Do you often feel blocked from moving forward? We all feel that way at times. These are referred to as energy blocks. I've created a short, actionable PDF guide to help you release your negative energy blocks. Click the link in the description to download it now for free. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, those early childhood years weren't the only things that helped me develop resilience. I've had a multitude of others that have occurred since then, and each has taught me how to be more resilient, which is unstoppable for me means, as I said, I'm not going to let anything prevent me from achieving the goal or objective that I have set for myself. But to be successful in doing that, there's a number of things that come with that. It's a mindset. When I sign my social media posts, I sign them usually two hashtags that go together. One is unstoppable and the other one's no excuses. And that, which drives my children insane. However, it It's around the fact that we have choice in terms of how we are going to move forward. We can't always control all the variables and the situations and prevent challenge, obstacle, or adversity from coming our way, but we choose how we're going to move forward. And so for me, I had to develop a healthy way of being resilient. I don't think as a child it was very healthy, even though my mom was very good at teaching me some of the skills I now utilize. For me, I was resilient by not dealing with it. I'm not processing it. I'm compartmentalizing. I'm putting stuff to the side and I'm going to build walls to protect myself. It's not healthy. That works on a short-term basis. And yeah. So for me, the skills, and this is where I think you can develop muscle. Again, there's something innately in me, but also I had to get better at how to be resilient in a more healthy and positive way for myself. So for me, that means kind of a four-step-ish process. The first is be really clear on what is the goal or objective you're setting for yourself, whether that be personal or professional. Being clear on that, let that be the anchor for you. When something happens, you anchor back consistently on that. The next one is to be really self-aware or self-reflective. What you mentioned, you use the word fear. Your listeners, are we fearing what that means? So spend time understanding, why do I have this emotion? What is holding me back? And then the next step in that is modeling the mindset, the thoughts, as well as the action, the language, the behaviors to progress us forward towards that anchor of our goal or objective. And remember, one step, one foot in front of another, that's progress. Mm-hmm. And then the last in that, however, is still giving myself permission to fail. I mean, we're all perfect in our imperfections and we are going to fail at some point. And that's okay. You learn from it. And then you go back to number one. What was the goal and objective and how are we going to get there?
Mm-hmm. So these are four steps on really how to be resilient. So completely agree with that. So let me just, if I could just rephrase. So number one, clear on the goal, which is really important. And that's what, when I'm coaching women, it's obviously, it's like, well, where do you want to go with this? Like, what is the intention and what do you want to do moving forward? And self-aware reflection is so important. Obviously, like that is the basis of everything. The answers are inside, right? Tell me, I'm a little clarity on the modeling mindset piece. Could you explain a little bit more?
Yeah. If you are, once you've done this self-reflection and gained some awareness around why you're having the thoughts you're having, might have some kind of immediate reaction or emotion to something, once you understand it, then you build a plan to move beyond that. And that means you need to build the plan to perhaps think differently, lean into something that will make you uncomfortable. I truly believe that growth and opportunity doesn't come unless we place ourselves in a position of discomfort and challenging that for ourselves. So that means taking steps to model the types of thoughts or moving beyond those thoughts to a place of discomfort and taking action. And that's where also my no excuses comes in. So let's talk health and wellness. And I'm a fitness fanatic. I never buy the excuse when people say, I don't have time.
Time. Yeah.
No, I have a saying, where there's conviction, there's capacity. And so that third step of modeling, whether it's thoughts, actions, behaviors, language, means taking action. And again, it can be today, when going to a health and fitness story, it can be, I'm just going to go for a walk around the block. Mm-hmm. And then it you can gradually build towards it. So that's what that third step for me is.
Okay.
Once you have awareness, you're then building the plan and modeling the actions you need to, doing the actions you need to take, or starting to change the way in which you think about things.
Mm-hmm. I love that example, because with fitness, it is so often an excuse. And if you can even take a little, like you said, walk around the block, and then it gets easier once you start the action, then you realize that you can do this. And so then the fears kind of will automatically lessen, right? So I appreciate that. That's some great steps there. And Victoria, I know that you talk a little bit about a personal brand, or a lot about personal branding. And as I thinking about the women who are listening to this podcast, many of them are looking for career growth, or they're looking in their current work, or they're looking maybe to start their own businesses or even move completely to different industries, new industries. And I know the importance of a personal brand, because having changed from corporate to being an entrepreneur, but maybe you can he can explain why is it so important to communicate our brand effectively and with confidence, and why it's important, basically.
Yeah, well, I think it's always been important. It's always been, yeah, I think, critical to success. And I actually look back on my career and becoming an executive so young, and where, and most of the time being directly recruited, in large part, it's because of the strength of my brand. However, over these last couple of years, it's become even more critical. One, because we live in a digital age, and more than ever, people are Googling you, going on your LinkedIn profile and trying to learn more about you before they connect or engage with you or make hiring or buying decisions from you. And
right,
people want to do business with people that they like and they trust. Therefore, they want to do business with. Also, and we saw a lot of this change kind of in that, like during the pandemic and post-pandemic era now, around consumers and employees want to buy from and work for leaders and companies that align to purpose, values, and there's some connectedness. So this is where, again, personal brand becomes important. And it isn't for those that are only in client-facing positions. I say this is important for all facets of whether it's corporate workforce, whether it's your side hustle, whatever it is, it's really important. And where I see people sort of stall themselves a little bit is they think of only the first foundational element of brand, which is what do I do and who do I do it for? Great, but that tells me nothing about who you are as a human, mm-hmm, and what they're going to be like to work and engage with you. And mm-hmm, so for me, the brand is consisting of four pieces. That is the foundational piece, the one I just said. What do you do? What did you go to school for? What is the field that you're working in? What's your expertise? And it can pivot and change over time. You made this change, right? So that, mm-hmm, that also can change, although you still get to leverage all that experience, education, et cetera, you've had in the past. But the next is around storytelling. What makes you you? In my, yeah, case, I now share some of my lived experience as part of my why and my drive. It's also things like that I am incredibly values-driven, integrity-driven, focused on doing the right thing. I'm focused on social justice, diversity, equity, inclusion. So those are parts of me, the value, mm-hmm, and the passions I have. The next one is what makes me different than people that do what I do. And sometimes the two overlap, by the way. And so for me, an example of differentiation, as I've spent many years in the world of B2B professional services and think management consulting as part of that. And it's rare, in my experience, to find consultants who tell clients no, or they tell them what they believe the client wants to hear and not what they need to hear. I operate with radical candor, not only with in front of my clients, but with my team, from a place of care and compassion. So that's not, mm-hmm, only who I am, but it's also a big differentiator for me. So get clear on what that is. And the last is starting almost with the end in mind. And again, this is one that I think will evolve and change. What I wanted at 20 versus in my 40s, very different. Legacy and impact. What do you want, mm-hmm, to be known for? When I die, I don't want the eulogy to be about the multitude of mergers and acquisitions that I've been a part of, about the sales and revenue and profit that I've driven for the shareholders that I work for. I want it to be around who I was as a leader, who I was in making a workplace's communities in the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
All of those pieces coming together is the fulsome story of who you are as a whole human who shows up. And we don't get to park our whole human self at the door when we walk through the office. We're our whole persons. And so it's critically important to build this holistic brand to help you achieve goals and objectives, whether that's getting promoted, whether that's moving to a new company, whether it's wanting to be a speaker and speaking on stages, you name it, it can help achieve those goals. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love the way you break it down too, because yeah, you're right. Some people just think this is what I do and this is my experiences. And it's kind of like chronological description of their life, right? And it doesn't tell anybody anything. And so it's interesting because I also speak to my clients about this. So it's like, okay, if you want to do something, wait, first you have to go inside. Like, what are your strengths? Like you talked about that. And even if you're starting new, it's not like you're letting go of everything that you've done in the past, right? So what are those experiences that you have? What are your passions? What are your values? And the concept of, I'm sure you know, is that Ikigai is like, what is your reason for being? So those are some of the things I talked about. And interspersed in that is also, who is the ideal client that you are really looking to serve, and what are their pains, and how can you uniquely address those pains? So it's interesting, and that all forms part of what I believe is our brand. And it is has been really important, especially, as you said, and with the pandemic. And there's so much with AI and ChatGPT and all these things that are coming out. There's so much information out there, but how can you really become stand out and be unique? And I love that, the radical candor thing that it creates, because that it is, that's who you are. You're unique, right? So what is it that makes us unique? So that's wonderful. Great. So you also mentioned a little bit about your interest in DEI. And so as I'm a 57-year-old woman of color, so I can relate to some of the stereotypes and discrimination that are out there, especially in the workplace. And in your experience, as you know, I talked about earlier, that you're the youngest executive, you're an LGBTQ community member and the sole woman at corporate table. So what are some of the things, takeaways that leaders and companies can incorporate to actually make DEI a real part of their culture? That's a big question, but
yeah, I know.
That's a huge question. And we could be talking about that as a whole topic, but just,
there isn't a magic bullet. And I feel like lots of leaders want that one thing, and there isn't. It's a multitude. What I would say, however, is start with recognizing that this isn't just an initiative from an ESG perspective and how we're being measured by board or on the NASDAQ or the S&P, who now want to see some diversity on things like their boards. This is good for business. Stop talking about it as a cost center when we look at hiring a chief diversity. It is proven, there's data and statistics that show the business benefits of this. Everything from greater innovation and creativity and problem solving to, from a risk perspective, generally, when you look at having more women or particularly on boards, the risk level of many of those we see reduced, to the fact that employees, when they feel a sense of belonging, they can show up as their authentic selves, their lived experience, their whatever diversity that they show up with, and there's tons of intersectionality, they can be themselves. That creates retention and engagement and greater productivity, which drives top and bottom line. So that's the first part in that. The next is, and I have this phrase I use for many things, but very specifically diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging, is strategic intentionality. So that first of all, measure the starting point. And it's horrific. I sometimes still find myself debating with people that there's a lack of diversity in so many forms in business, from just under 10% of the Fortune 500 companies with female CEOs. As of the start of this year, there are only 6 Black CEOs, that only 1.9% of venture capital funding goes to female founders. The data is the data. Let's stop disputing it and understand our baseline and then be intentional around how we're going to move that needle and over what time frame. Be realistic. It's not happening overnight, but be realistic in setting targets and holding the leaders accountable to it. And it's not just about the talent attraction, bringing diverse talent through the front door, without building policies, procedures, and the right kind of leadership to create that sense of belonging. Otherwise, they're running out the back door as fast as they're coming in the front. So that element, and those are some of the things I refer to when I talk about strategic intentionality in how we build out these DEI programs and cultures in workplaces.
Mm-hmm. I know these stats are really quite staggering, but have you noticed that has it improved since, you've been in the corporate world for your whole life? Have you noticed that it actually has improved, or are these statistics still, you know what I'm trying to say? Is it actually improving?
It has, Kavita. It has improved, but we're still so far behind where we should be. The World Economic Forum's 2023 report on gender parity and pay. In North America, we are still 60 years away from parity, upwards of 100 plus years if you're in other parts of the world. So how in this day and age is that acceptable when we are 53% of the population? So yes, it's improved, but nowhere near where it needs to. I, a number of years ago, working for a large technology organization, was leading a large strategy session with a bunch of other executives. And I walked into our large boardroom and it was me, one other woman, and 40 men So now that's the world of STEM. But I mean, this is 4 or 5 years ago. Like, this is crazy. not when I entered the corporate world or stepped into my first C-suite role.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really sad. That's very like, well, I mean, at least more, we're talking about it more, even though organizations may not be, they might be not embracing strategic intentionality, but hopefully the more and more we talk about these things and the more and more women get into these roles, into technology and into engineering and into these fields, the more it will improve. So there's hope.
There is. Although I will say one thing, I'm a bit controversial in this part. I think women opt themselves out at some point. And some of it's on the employers creating the right kind of environment, particularly for those who choose to become mothers and what comes with that. But others, I believe, are expectations that women put on themselves and thinking they have to choose between motherhood and rising within the career. So the data is the data, but I do believe, and I see many, many women hold themselves back in large part because they time out to parent and step aside and not hold their, if they have a partner, hold them accountable to equal parenting and responsibilities as well.
Yes. Yes. It reminds me of my niece. She's a very accomplished lawyer, and her husband is very accomplished too, but they have 3 children, and he took a year off. She was working. She was building her practice, and he took a year off to look after the kids. So if the drive is there, then can work it out. Like, that's just an example that came to my mind, but yeah, interesting. So yeah, I know we've talked about a lot of different topics today, but I was reading one of your blogs and I thought it was really interesting. It was called Driven and Feisty. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
And do you talk about an accident that you had on a scooter and what you learned from that accident? And I guess maybe you can describe that a little bit. And maybe what would you say to women who are kind of looking to get up after a fall like you had?
Yeah, I used a picture that depicted me in the hospital after this accident to open some eyes to read this. The driven and feisty was that in my sort of career transition, there was a CEO who had sort of back checking around to learn about me, not an official reference, and I guess a colleague who referred to me as driven and feisty, and it wasn't sure whether it was intended to be positive or negative. And many times I'm used to vernacular being used in one way with women and differently in men. So it was a little bit of a question on that. However, I very much am driven and feisty going back to, and so I choose to take that in a positive, and it's connected back to my unstoppable nature. And so I by choice have no vehicle. When I moved back to New York, decided to sell my vehicle, didn't need one, and use those like stand up electric scooters to get around way faster than taking the subway. And even though I now live in South Florida, I can walk or bike or scooter everywhere. And I had a freak accident where something happened to my wheel and I went flying over. And so I have a scar, lost a tooth, I broke both arms, and I shattered my knee. Needed multiple surgeries for it. So I was in the hospital. They released me after 3.5 hours with no wheelchair, with 3 broken appendages. That was an interesting story. But I chose, that was significant rehab to like get back at it. Mm-hmm. So this for me is just another example. And also another reason I shared that and I shared those pictures is I also want to show in this very filtered world of social media when we talk and people are building their brands, I want authenticity. I was also talking about that story over how difficult my last year had been. I had won awards and you're seeing me post and do these things, but there's a whole other side. And so for me, again, it was the reality and authenticity and vulnerability of what's happened, that I had a really pretty horrible year, but that I've chosen to leverage the drive and feistiness inside me and that unstoppable nature to, as you said, pick myself up and move myself forward.
Yes. That's great. I totally believe in that, because when we see in social media, everybody perfect pictures and perfect life, and it's not always the case. Share what you are actually going through. Share the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And people will be able to relate. And also, as you said before, no one can trust you. So I think that just kind of, I thought that was a really good blog to get your feedback on. So I know that you have done so much in your life. And I'm sure that because you're driven and feisty, there's got to be more coming up. So please describe and tell us, A, where we can find you, and B, what is next for you, and how can our listeners support you, or how can we support you in what you're doing next?
Thank you. You're right. My husband jokes that I'm never going to retire. It's not in my DNA. I'm not good with idle time. So while I made the decision to leave my last employer and was often in career transition, I wrote two books, one of which came out in January of this year around personal branding. The second one's on leadership and culture, and that one will come out in early summer.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. I took a new board appointment late fall and head for my first in-person board meeting tomorrow to New York, which is great. I start on Monday a new CEO role, which I'm really excited about.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. And then on the personal side, I do say that someday I told my two children, I'm like, one or both of you will make me a grandmother. However, I was a really young mother by choice. So let's not make me a young grandmother by accident. But I aspire to be a grandmother at some point. And then I do a ton of public speaking. I'm very excited to be speaking on the TED stage in May as well.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. What's going to be the topic? Have you got that? Or is that like a secret?
No, it's not. The theme, and so it's no wonder that I'm one of the selected speakers, is resilience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So where can your audience find me? The easiest place, one-stop shop, is to go to my website, which is victoria-peltier.com. I put blog content there, podcasts there, more about learning about having me as a speaker. And then all three of the books I have two that are already out. And then the third that will be coming out are there as well. And then if they want to link to me on other social platforms, they'll get the links direct from there.
Okay. I have one last question. When do you sleep?
Well, I'm a horrible sleeper. Now I'm so good with intention in that I'm like the no time to go to the gym. I go to bed early so I can get up and to the gym in the morning, but I'm a horrible sleeper. So like people are surprised to be getting emails from me at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning because I'll be awake for an hour or two each night at least.
Well, I mean, everything that you have shared today to what you're doing and just the lessons that you learned and resilience that you have is really a great lesson for me and for my listeners. And I wish you all the best with your new role. And if you have the links to the books, we'll put them in the show notes. And really, it was such a pleasure to learn more about you and your background and all the great lessons that you have for women who are looking for their next chapter. So thanks again.
Thanks, Kavita. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. And I hope today's episode provided you with inspiration to be unstoppable in your life. Here are Victoria's key takeaways. Number one, be really clear on the goal or objective you're setting for yourself. Number two, be really self-aware or self-reflective. Three, model your mindset or your thoughts, as well as the action, language, behaviors which work towards your goal or objective. And four, give yourself permission to fail. Number two, to develop an effective personal brand, ask yourself, what do I do and who do I do it for? Tell us who you are through authentic storytelling. What makes you different from other people? What is your differentiator? And finally, your legacy and impact. What do you want to be known for? And number three, with regards to DEI initiatives, make sure there is strategic intentionality in bringing these initiatives forward and understand that these initiatives are good for business, bringing out greater innovation, creativity, and productivity. My main takeaway from this episode is this: whatever you set your mind to, do it with authenticity, resilience, and an unstoppable belief in yourself, despite the real or perceived adversities in your way. Now, for our Motivational Monday segment. We have heard of many great stories of women who have experienced extreme adversity but have still persevered to impact the world. Have you heard of Sarah Blakely? Sarah Blakely is the founder of Spanx, a company that revolutionized the undergarment industry with its line of body-shaping undergarments for women.
Blakely started her career selling fax machines door to door, and she invested her entire savings of $5,000 into developing the prototype for Spanx. Despite facing numerous rejections from manufacturers and potential investors, Blakely persisted and eventually built Spanx into a billion-dollar company, becoming one of the youngest self-made female billionaires in the world. Imagine selling fax machines door-to-door with only $5,000 in her pocket, and then, with such grit and tenacity, building a billion-dollar company. If she can do it, we can too. So inspiring, and I hope that these Motivational Monday episodes with women explaining the adversity that they've gone through and how they went through it and went to the other side really inspire you to take this week and this new month to be unstoppable and resilient in whatever you set your mind to. I know you can do it, and if you want to have further guidance from me on exactly how, book a complimentary call with me to discuss. If you're feeling like you are stuck and not sure why, you can also download my free energy blocks guide in the show notes. After doing so, you will learn what may be blocking you and how to move forward with resilience. Till next time, stay well and stay motivated.